Let's begin to praise and magnify his name. Oh, come on, let's lift up the name of Jesus right now. He's in this house right now. We praise you, Jesus. In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty. Would you cast all your cares upon Him right now? Come on, just one moment in His presence. Come on, can change everything. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there
are angels all around.
So let us pray. This was the place where God abounds. For this is the temple Jehovah God abides here. And we
Oh,
stand at his feet. Peace of mind can still be found. My friend, if you have a need, I know he has the answer. Just reach out and claim it, for we are standing on holy ground. Oh, we
are standing
on holy ground, on
holy ground.
Come on, let's reach out and touch him, Lord, right now. Come on, reach out to him right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, he's in this place to touch you, to bless you. Oh, we love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Oh, we're honored tonight to be in your presence, Jesus. We love you, Savior. We love you, Savior. We love you, Savior. Oh, we glorify you today. Amen. Before you're seated tonight, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Brother David Myers, he is not feeling well. He needs a miracle in his body. If you know somebody who needs prayer tonight, just lift their name tonight in prayer. Jesus, we love you. We thank you. We praise you tonight, Savior. God, we're asking you, Lord, right now, the prayer of faith can save the sick. I pray, Lord, that you would touch his body, touch his mind. Use it for your glory tonight, Jesus. God, there are job needs we have in the house. God, there are financial needs that are in the house tonight. God, there are spiritual needs in the house tonight, I pray. God, you're with us. You've never left us. I pray, God, show us your glory today. For your glory and for your honor, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Ushers are preparing to receive the Wednesday night tithe and offering. Don't forget your daily personal devotion, praying every day, reading your Bible every day, fasting as often as you can, witnessing. He that winneth souls is wise. Get out there and tell somebody about Jesus. I was thinking about what people say about their church. It's a growing, thriving Pentecostal experience. Let's make this a growing, thriving Pentecostal experience by witnessing, by doing our part to reach our city. Amen. Also, remember not to use this door to the north. And then Northwest Apostolic Men's Conference 2026 is going to be a great time. In the Holy Ghost, asking all of our men to please be faithful to that Friday night and Saturday morning at the Nampa Civic Center. Brother Miles Young, Brother Jeremy Wilbanks, and Brother Daniel McDonald. Amen. Let's stand together and pray for the offering. Savior, we love you, we praise you, we glorify you. Jesus, you're worthy of the glory and the honor. We ask you, Lord, tonight to bless the gift and the giver. We'll give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Let's sing and worship as the ushers come.
I exalt thee. I exalt thee. I exalt
Let's lift him up. Come on, magnify the Lord with me. Come on, let us exalt his name together. Oh, has he been good to you? Come on, has he blessed you? Has he healed you? Has he saved you tonight? Oh, has he delivered you? Give him glory in the house. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, Savior. Oh, come on, let's take a few moments and lift up the name of Jesus. Come on, just because he's worthy. Come on, just because he's worthy. I lift my hands to you. I lift my song to you. I lift my voice. I lift my heart. I lift my praise. We worship you, Jesus. Come on, let's thank the Lord for the last few services. Come on, let's thank him for Sunday night, all the visitors, the people in the altar. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We praise you. We worship you, Savior. Amen. Praise God. What a wonderful service we had Sunday night. Amen. Everybody in the house of the Lord, guests and visitors, looking forward to seeing them again. They will, some of the men, those young men, will be at the church tomorrow night working. They want to be a part. In fact, Tim Brown, if they're listening to this, he said he had to do some work on that church, so when he becomes a member, they don't call him Sister Brown. So we got revelation already. Praise God. And we're excited about that. What a great service we've been having the last four or five services. God is moving. Amen. And we're thankful for it. Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8. We're going to hear some rustling of pages tonight. Trying to figure out where Amos is. Some of you aren't rustling pages because you don't have your Bible with you. Oh, I shouldn't have to say that after almost 11 years of being here. Bring your Bible to church. Well, that got a rousing, thunderous amen. Bring your Bible to church. Praise God. How do you know if what I'm preaching is true if you don't have a Bible to know it? We don't always put them up on the board. Sometimes I just, you know, go through it, but we're gonna get there tonight. Amos chapter 8 and verse number 11. Now, I will make an exception to the ladies, the mamas with babies. You got enough stuff to bring in, and so you're excused from that request. But everybody else, even the husbands of those said mothers, bring your Bible to church. Follow along if you can. It's just a good thing. I don't know what just peradventure, what would y'all do if I didn't show up with the Bible? Well, you need one. Well, I need it just as much as you do. Praise God. So bring your Bible to church. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. Man, what a desperate place to be in. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse number 1, the Bible said this child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. Precious means valuable. It means prized. But the context of that is the meaning of rare. I don't want to come to church and not hear the word of God. I don't want to come to church and not have a move of the Holy Ghost. I don't want to. Come on, I want to hear the word of the Lord tonight. Come on, can we lift our hands? Can we magnify the Lord together? Oh, we love you, Jesus. Come on, we need a revival of the Bible tonight. Come on, that's what I want to preach. That's what I feel like preaching tonight. A revival of the Bible. Come on, anybody want a new, fresh word tonight? It's in the Bible. It's in the word of the Lord. Come on, you don't need some new evangelist to come down. You don't need another podcast to come out. You just got to dig into the word, and there will be a fresh word. It's a living word. Come on, this is a living word. This is a quick word. This is a moving word. Oh, hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. A revival of the Bible. Revival of the Bible. It was precious in those days. It was rare in those days. After the chaos recorded in Judges 17 through 21, when everyone did what was right in their own eyes, they just justified their actions. They just justified what they did. They had no word. They had no guidance. They didn't listen to the man of God. The man of God was not doing his job. And so it was revolutionary for Samuel to come along and be a prophet, a man of judgment and integrity. 1 Samuel 3:19, the Bible says, Samuel grew and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. He knew he was the man of God because God spoke to him. He knew he was called of God because God spoke to him. It was by the word of the Lord. Amen. 1 Kings 13:1. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. I want to let you know that tonight, five times in 1 Kings chapter 13, it states, by the word of the Lord. If we're going to do anything in this city, if we're going to make an impact in this world, if we're going to do anything in this valley, it has got to be by the word, not by might, nor by power. Come on, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. That's the word of the Lord tonight. We got to get that in our homes. We got to get that in our hearts. We got to get that in our children. Psalm 33:6, and by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. 1 Timothy 4:4, for every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused, but it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. John chapter 17. Are you thankful for truth tonight? Come on, are you thankful for the word of God tonight? Oh, by the word of the Lord, being born again, not of corruptible, but incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. I'm thankful tonight for doctrine. I'm thankful tonight for conviction. I'm thankful tonight for faith. And all of that came by the word of the Lord. Through faith, we understand. Well, where'd that faith come from? The word of the Lord. I can read Genesis 1:1 and understand where the word. I don't have to go by and find some archaeologist or some biologist that's going to tell me that 300 billion years ago, some fish crawled out of the water and became a monkey and turned into a chondra. I know that when God made him with all of his flaws, he made him the way he was. Because the Bible tells me that God created a man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. How do I know that? The word of God tells me. You know what we need in this world is a revival of the Bible. We need somebody to get a revelation that if God said it, oh, come on, I know we're a little bit of repeating tonight, but that's because we're just preaching the word of God. We can't help but repeat what the word of God says. We can shout tonight because the Bible tells us, let everything that hath breath. We can dance tonight because the Bible tells us, praise him in the dance. Praise him with a timbrel and organ. Praise upon the loud cymbal. We can get a little excited tonight because the Bible, we have the authority of the word of God tonight. Amen. Through faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. I find it amazing that these leftists want to use the scripture that when God breathed into man, it became a living soul. So a baby is not a baby until breath comes in. Why are you going to scripture? Why are you using scripture for your argument? Because they don't have any other thing to go off of. They don't have any other foot to stand on. They don't know when it all came out, when their Big Bang Theory and the little fish stepped out of the water. Was it a whale? Was it a mammal? How did it breathe air? How come it's gilled? They don't have that. They got to go to the word of God that the Bible said God breathed into the nostrils of man and he became a living soul. But I'm going to tell you, I know where he came from. I know how it happened. Because the Bible tells me so. Hey man, I was thinking today as I was getting ready. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. We teach these songs to our children in Sunday school. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. I thank God for John 3:16. I thank God that he loves me and he robed himself in flesh. But I also thank God for John 3:5-8 that I got to be born of the water and of the spirit and I might enter in or see the kingdom of God. How do I know that? Because I got a revival of the Bible. The Bible. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 119:9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I'm going to get ahead of myself tonight. You want to overcome temptation? Get in the word. You want to overcome sin? Get in the word. You want to overcome faults and failures? Get in the word. I can't do it by myself. In me doeth no good thing. But I want to put his word in my heart that I might not. Amen. The Bible's like a sword that cuts. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents. God knows our thoughts and God knows our intents, our plans. It's like fire. The Bible said in Jeremiah 20:9, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. Oh, what revelation we would get, what revival we would have if the church could fall in love with the word of God and let it burn in our hearts and let the word of God prevail and let the word of God have free course and let the word of God control our lives and rule our lives and give us peace. All this is Bible tonight. I'm not talking how I feel and what I think, but the Bible tells me what could happen in our hearts if we let the word of God burn. We couldn't hold back. I'm going to tell you, reason why we can't witness is because the word of God's not burning in our spirit. The reason why we can't outreach is because the word of God is not burning in our hearts. But if we were in the word every day, we couldn't help but tell somebody about what we read. We couldn't help tell somebody about the goodness of God. I got tired of forbearing. I could not stay. Amen. Jeremiah 23:9. Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and a hammer? Now I understand that we don't like this hammer part of the word. But let me just give you, you can do a word study on this. It's there. The word bray is in the Bible two times. One of them is, a donkey doesn't bray when there's food in the crib. That's not what he didn't say donkey, but you know. The other time is though you bray a fool. What does that word mean? Well, first, the first one means a harsh cry. You don't like my preaching? Shouldn't pick a pastor with the last name Bray. It's going to be a harsh cry. Sometimes it sounds like that when I'm preaching, I'm sure. But the other one means to pound into dust. You could pound truth into a fool and they still won't get it. See, if you instruct a wise man, he will grow wiser. You instruct the fool and he'll despise it. Well, I don't like that preacher. Well, you just showed your true colors. But the word is like a hammer. Sometimes you have to drive that truth in. Sometimes you got to repeat yourself. Sometimes you got to say it again. You got to have repetition. Practice does not make perfect. Practice makes permanent. I want to make sure that we get this in our heart, that it takes us to the end. I won't be perfect, but if I keep reading and I keep praying, and I let me just say this. Well, I got a prayer life, but you wouldn't know about prayer without the word. Oh, let me say it again. I got a prayer life. I like to meditate. I like to do the daily bread. No, you wouldn't even know about prayer and the power of prayer without the word. I'm going to tell you, yes, prayer is the breath of life. But prayer, but the Bible is the bread of life. And I got to have both. I got to have the word. I got to have that in my spirit. Amen. the hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. So it's fire that purifies, and it's a hammer that breaks. Break up the fallow ground. Where do we get that? The word tells us that. The word shall prosper where he sent it. We just preached this the other night. So my word shall go forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return to me void, but it will accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Can I tell you, we're to celebrate his word. You can praise him when you're reading the Bible. You can praise him when you're getting the word. The Bible says, in God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. That means I'm going to show forth. I'm going to boast. I'm going to celebrate. Come on, I'm going to tell you, you got a reason to shout because you know the Bible. You got a reason to shout because you know who Jesus is. You got a reason to shout. I can shout because I know who he is. I can shout because I know his word will prosper. I can shout. No, I know the name of Jesus. You wouldn't know the name of Jesus without the word. You wouldn't know the power of Jesus' name without the word. In fact, the Bible said he put his name. He magnified his word above his name. I know the power of the name of Jesus because the Bible tells me there's power in the name of Jesus. I know there's power in the blood because the Bible tells me there's power in the blood. I know the oneness of God because the Bible tells me that there's only one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. I know it's in there because the Bible tells me. We need a revival of the Bible. We need a revival of the Bible. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. I saw heaven opened up and a white horse, and he that was called faithful and true. And the Bible said his name is called the Word of God. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And he's given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I know it because the word tells me so. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Let me just tell you tonight, his word is final. Pastor, you've already preached that. That's all right to say it again. His word is final. His word is final. I don't care what the city says. I don't care what the banker says that I'm preaching where we live. I don't care what the engineers say. His word is final. If God sent my God, I'll open doors that no man can shut. And I'll shut doors that no man. Why do I say it? Because the Bible tells me so. God forbid. Yea, let God be true, and every man a liar, as it is written. 80 times in the Bible, the phrase as it is written is used. 63 times of that is in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 4, the tempter comes, the deceiver comes, Satan comes, the devil comes, Beelzebub, the dragon, the old snake, Lucifer. Why don't we believe in a trinity of devils? Because he's got so many names. Jesus only has one name. There's only one name. And people got that confused because they didn't read the Bible. But it said this, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made of bread. Jesus said, it is written, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That famine of Amos chapter 8 wasn't a famine of bread. Well, I got bread. I got water. I'm fine. But do you have the word? You have wealth. You have security. You have contentment. But do you have the word? I don't want wealth and not the word. The old song says, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I don't want contentment. I don't want comfort and not the word. But Jesus tells me it's written. Man shall not live by bread alone. You can't live on the bread that you got, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. I'm going to tell you how we're going to get through life, how we're going to overcome temptation, how we're going to overcome alcoholism, how we're going to overcome drug addiction, how we're going to overcome vices and addictions that the flesh can't. It's by the word of God, as it is written. Hey, get thee behind me, Satan. Why? Because the Bible tells me, you can't tempt Jesus, you can't tempt me, because it is written. 63 times the Bible tells me it's written, and so I'm going to repeat it. I'm only going to repeat it, I'm going to pray it. I'm going to tell you how to pray. Pray the scripture, pray the word. Tell God, I'm going to tell you how revival comes. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. I got to know the word. The word of the Lord endureth forever. And the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. That's how you're going to make it. That's how you're going to be saved. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. It is written. We're not just making this up. It's written. 2 Corinthians 4:3, according as it is written. 1 Peter 1:16, because it is written, be holy. Why do you preach holiness? Because it's written, be holy for I am holy. My pastor wrote a book not too long ago. Title of the book was this, What Saith the Scripture? I don't really care what you have to say, what your thoughts are, if they're not Bible-based. And that cannot be Bible-based in your own private interpretation. Has to be Bible-based on context. What saith the scripture? Bible goes on to say, nevertheless, for in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 27 through 31, he's talking about the allegory. He's talking about Isaac. He's talking about the promise. He said, it's written. And he goes on in verse 29 and says, but as then he was born after the flesh, persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? I know what everybody else is saying. In fact, Brother Mayo's devotion this morning. I know men say I'm this, men say I'm that, but whom do you say that I am? Thou art, and he said it, and then he told him, he said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. Revelation tells me. Revelation tells me that hell cannot prevail. Revelation tells me that no matter what's going on, the scripture tells me. I know what everybody else is saying, but what saith the scripture? Yeah. Let me just say this. If you don't read your Bible, if you don't know your Bible, if you don't care about your Bible, you're making a grave error. It's not so you can debate the Trinitarians. There really is no debate. It's not so you can debate the Catholics. There really is no debate. It's not so you can debate the Mormons. There truly is no debate. It's not so you can go across town and find somebody that's a Bible scholar and have a debate with them. No, but the Bible tells us this. You do err. Jesus said this. You do err not knowing the scripture nor the power of God. Everything I know about him. Everything I know about him is in that Bible. And so if I don't know that Bible, I don't know him. If I don't know this word, if I don't read this word, I can listen to all the podcasts. I can listen to all of the internet scholars. But if I don't know him in the power of his word, through the comfort of the scripture, I'm going to tell you, I'm not against psychology. I'm not against psychiatry, as long as it's Bible-based and got some word in it. But let me tell you something. The Bible tells us through comfort of the scripture. through comfort of the scripture. It may look bad right now, but no weapon formed against me shall prosper. It may look bad right now, but the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. It may look bad right now. The wind's howling and the storm's raging and the rain's falling, but I dug deep in the rock and I found it on a rock. I know it because the Bible. I err not knowing the scripture. I err. Amen. Mark 12 and 24, you do err, therefore, because ye know not the scripture, neither the power of God. My pastor used to say this all the time, learn it, love it, live it. You can't learn it. You can't love it without learning it. And you can't live it without loving it. You got to fall in love with the Bible. You got to fall in love with the Word. You got to taste and see that the Lord is good. It's like Brother Terry used to say, eat it, saints. Come on, somebody. Get a hold of this Word. Get a hold of this Word and let it have free course in your heart and in your mind. Man, those without understanding don't have the impact on the human mind and spirit. Often repress displays of brokenness and extreme joy that exudes after cleansing of the results of applying. Here's the deal. It's applying scripture. It's not just quoting scripture. It's applying scripture. There are certain things we don't do because the Bible tells us so. There are certain things we don't partake in. Well, I need chapter and verse for it. There's the letter of the law. There's the spirit of the law. I want to make sure that I'm in the spirit of the law. Teach it to your children. Teach it to your children. Talk about it. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 6:4, we quoted already, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. What do you talk about in your house? Do you ever talk about scripture? Do you ever have the family devotion? Do you ever talk about the things of God? Do you ever bring up the Bible? Or the only time you talk about church is when you're chewing on everybody else in the church? I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. Maybe we do, and I hope we do. But the Bible said, teach them diligently to thy children. Talk of them when thou sittest in that house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. I was listening tonight, finishing up the last few minutes of a Biblos podcast. My mind goes tonight to think about Brother Urshan and his brother having sword drills in the back of their car. Traveling. They got so into the Word of God that they would start scriptures. These are just children. They would start scriptures and the other one had to finish it. They'd have to give chapter and verse references. They would play games by knowing the scripture. What could happen to us? Oh, that's extreme. Is it? Is it? We got Bible quizzing. Lord, I hope one day we could have a Bible quizzing team. Well, we got young people, 85% of people who get involved in Bible quizzing stay in the church. Can I just tell you, 100% of kids not raised in the Word will backslide. I don't care how many times they come to church. If they never fall in love with the Word, they won't stay in. As soon as they get a chance, they're on their way. I want the Word to be hid in my heart. I want to raise my children in the Word, on the Word, around the Word. Talk about it. Speak about it. Lay them down to sleep and pray over them. Wake them up and pray over them. Teach them the scripture on the way to school. Teach them the scripture on the way to daycare. Teach them the scripture on the way to the grocery store. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. There's only one God, and his name is Jesus. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Teach it to him means to point. Intensively to pierce. I don't want to push it on them. They're going to push the agenda of Hollywood, LGBTQ+. They're going to push the agenda of everything this world has to offer on them. If we're not careful, we'll lose our kids to the world because we don't want to offend them in church. No, if you teach them to love the Word and hold a hold of the Word and grab a hold of it, they'll learn it, they'll love it, and they'll live it. Amen. And you shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Ephesians 6, 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That word nurture means tutelage, tutorage, education, training. There's a guy I don't even know. I don't want to promote him. I really don't, but I just happened to see this the other day. Ex-military guy, whatever, raising two young boys. His boys got patches. Like, they don't need Boy Scouts. They don't know all that. He's doing it himself. And he asked the one young boy, what's your patch you're most proud of? He said, World War II history. This kid is 11 years old. He's read 70 adult, designed for adults, 70 adult World War II books, history books. 70 of them. His brother, he asked him, what's your most? And he said, a Bible in the year. And he went back to his little brother. He goes, don't you feel a little less spiritual? He said, I kind of do now. I should have. But both of them just read their Bible through at 11 and 12 years old. This is a phenomenal man. Raising his kids to be survivors. Raising his kids to have, you know, good with combat and weapons and all of that. But he's teaching them how to read the Bible. And I thought, how many apostolic parents are spending time having their kids, reading the Bible to their kids? How many of us apostolic parents? I knew a young man that was a preacher. And I thought he was going to be a pastor, and he's a mess now. But he told me, he said, I'm raising my boys to be preachers. I'm raising my boys to be men of God. I said, I'm just raising my boys to be men and hoping they're saved. We've got to train our children in the way they're going to go. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. Why do I know that? Because the Bible tells me. Can I tell you what we need to do tonight, church? We need a revival of the Word. We need a revival of the Bible. We'll have revival of souls if we can have a revival of the Word. We'll have a revival of praise if we can have a revival of the Word. We'll have a revival of church and growth if we have a revival of the Bible. We need a revival of the Bible. Can we instruct others? Can we give it to others? Close tonight. 1 Peter 2 and 2, as newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Talking Sunday night to Tim Brown at the restaurant after church, and he was asking questions about scriptures. And it shifted from just a casual conversation about life and about things to he was asking. He was hungry, and he still is hungry. And we're going to have Bible studies. My wife and I are going to drive up to there, to Idaho City, and have Bible studies with them. And I may start doing that sooner rather than later. I know we got a building project going on, but that's a building project right there. And there's some young people who are hungry for truth. We had three young men, high school graduates, that came going to high school right now, that came to church, and they want to be a part of what's going on. And that, you know what they were doing? You know when he ran into them? He ran to them. They were going to thrift stores. They were going to thrift stores and getting Bibles and passing them out to people and talking about the Word of God. My God, if you get that kind of zeal, that kind of fire, you get that kind of hunger, hey, you need a Bible study. You need a Bible. I'm going to tell you something. Let the Word burn in your heart. Let the Word burn in your spirit. Come on. I know some things. I'm learning some things. I'm growing thereby. But there's going to be a time when I know more and I can teach more and I got more responsibility. Thank God for newborn babes. But we got some people in the house of God tonight that ought to be a strong meat. Got to be able to teach others. Amen. The Bible said we grow the sincere milk, undeceitful, unadulterated. unaltered. I want it, tell me like it is. Preach it like it is. Tell it like it is. 1 Corinthians 3:2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. It takes time. He asked me the other night, he said, what do you need to do to become a member of your church? I said, just keep coming. But that's it? I said, yes. And as you learn more and know more, more responsibility will come with that. More understanding will come with that. And you'll start discipling, you'll start witnessing, and you'll start doing. It's that simple. And guess what? Here's the deal. The more you want to know, the more you can know. Because if you got one of these, you can read it, you can study it, you can learn it. Come on, you can get a hold of it. God can show you revelation. God can show you verses. God can illuminate and open your understanding. God can do it tonight. Oh, hallelujah. And we're closing. We're getting there close. We're getting close. What time is it? 8:30. Another hour and a half. Praise God. Hebrews 5:11. Of whom we have many things to say. Hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Pastor, you're preaching too rough. You're preaching too mean. That's kind of rough. Well, he said they were dumb. You're dull of hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason have use of their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You're going to know what to do because the Bible tells you so. You're going to know how to witness. You're going to know how to say things when you don't know what to say because the Bible tells us that the Holy Ghost will give you the right words. The Bible tells us, but can I tell you something? You can pray about bringing it to your mind, but if you've never read it, you can study for a test and pray that God would give you the things to say and help you to give you the answers. But if you never study the questions, you're not going to get the answers. And God can only bring to your mind what you put in it. God can only bring to your mind what you've read. And so we got to get in the Word. We got to study the Scriptures daily. We got to search the Scriptures daily. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Acts 17:11. And we've been shouting and we've been rejoicing. We've been having altar calls the last several services. But tonight, I want to provoke us to good works. You want to provoke us? Yeah, the Bible tells me to provoke us to good works. Now, I'm not asking for a show of hands, but I'm asking a question. You could think about this in your own mind. You could answer this in your own head. When is the last time you picked up your Bible at home and read the Bible? When's the last time you picked up the Word of God at home as an individual or a family and read the Word of God? And if we have to think about it, there's our problem. I know it's busy. It's a busy season. It's a busy time. We're all busy. But if we can't understand that we need the Word of God, the Bible said, and these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God, the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Now, I can't do this for everybody. I do it for Tawny because she's asked for them. She could ask for them tonight and try to muddle through all this. She wants to go back home, she says, because I don't always understand what you're saying. It's not a hearing thing. It's a word thing. It's a mouth thing. I understand sometimes I get preaching fast and it may be hard to understand, but you should understand the Spirit. But you should go home and see if those things are so or not. You should have your Bible and understand that. You know what I like? I like when people figure out where I'm going. People can finish scriptures with me. People can catch hold of what's being preached and catch a spirit because they're in the Word. They read their Bible, they pray, and they understand, hey, this is where we're going. This is what's going on. Why? Because we've learned we're strong meat. We're full A. We exercise our senses. We know what's good and what's evil. We know what's right. Hey, let me tell you something. When those young men came in the other night, I thank God we didn't stop worshiping. When those families come in, we can't stop praising. We can't stop worshiping because the Bible said He inhabits the praises of His people. We need to know that. We need to operate like that. We need to have that kind of faith. Amen. John 5:39 said, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." First John chapter 5 and verse number 46, Jesus said this. He said, "And for ye had believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me." When someone tells you that Jesus Christ is the second person of the Trinity, you ask them how Moses wrote about him. When did Moses bring up Jesus? He wrote about God. And that's what Jesus said he was. Well, and I'm going to close with this tonight. And I know we're not shouting, but that's all right. We don't have to shout, but we're going to pray. The Bible said this in Luke 24 and 44. "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, and all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets, in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scripture." You know what we need tonight? Is our understanding opened. Well, about three people. About three or four people said, "Amen." You know what the problem is? You know why some folks didn't say nothing? Because your understanding's not opened. You may know scripture, but you can't catch on to a sense. You can't catch on to a, we need this. We need this. When he's preaching, I need what he's preaching. Apply it to my life. We haven't got a revelation of that yet. It ain't ego. It ain't patting me on the back. It's saying yes. Without, I do err not knowing the scripture. I do err not tapping in the power of God. Come on, somebody. I'm trying to open your mind tonight. I'm trying to enlighten you tonight. I'm trying to give you revelation. I need the word. I need to love it. I need to learn it. I need to live it. I need to fall in love with the Bible. Come on. I wish we all had our Bibles tonight. I want you to grab your Bible tonight. I want you to hold it close to your heart tonight. God, help me fall in love with the word. Help me fall in love with the word of God. Let me hide it in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Come on, let me do what you said in your word. Show me your scripture. Show me. Hey, you want to know how to pray? Pray the Bible. Pray the Bible tonight. Come on, God, you say in your word, you never leave me nor forsake me. I got comfort in that scripture. I got comfort in that scripture. You said I'd be persecuted. You said offenses would come. But you said offenses need come. And so I'm praying tonight. Don't let me get offended. But let me hold your word. Let me hold on to it, God. Come on, I want to be apprehended of that which apprehended me. I want to hold on to what's holding on to me. Without his word, we have nothing. Without his word, we are nothing. We don't know Acts 2:38 without his word. We don't know Deuteronomy 6:4 without his word. We don't know the scripture. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, cry out, church. Open my understanding. Give me revelation. Give me understanding tonight. Give me an understanding of how much I need your word. I can't live a day without it, God. It's the bread of life. It's the seed to the sower. Oh, mighty God, mighty King, mighty Savior. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Come on, let me pray with understanding. Let me read with understanding. Let me embrace this word. Praise God. I was listening to that Biblos podcast, and I'm closing with this. I was listening to that Biblos podcast the other day, and I got to the house, and it was like 4 or 5 minutes left, and I just kind of stopped, paused it, figured the next time I get in the truck, the car, whatever. It was no coincidence that tonight on the way to church that Brother Evan Grizzle and Brother Urshan were talking about wrestling with angels. He started talking about the Word of God. And Brother Grizzle said, he goes, my wife has got into the scripture and she's becoming a scholar. And I'm all for it. Man, I wish everybody knew the Word of God like that. And he said, she said, in her study, that the children of God, the Hebrews, the Jewish people, they would read a scripture, and in their study, they were supposed to obey it before they understood it. I don't understand that, so I'm not going to do it. No, you were supposed to obey it, and understanding would come. Can you imagine what would happen to us as an individual if we just started doing what the Word says, even if we don't understand it? Enlightening. He said, I want to apprehend that which is apprehended me. I want to hold on to that which is holding on to me. I got to get a hold of this thing. There's things about the Bible I don't understand. There's things about the Bible I'm just like, man, that is too big for me. That is too great for me. In fact, they said something just in the last closing remarks about how the angel pulled that coal with tongs off the fire and put it in the prophet's mouth. Something so simple, day of Pentecost, but why did the angel use a tongue? Because he couldn't touch it. He couldn't be a part of it. It wasn't for him. I never thought of it that way, but my God, they're looking in. They're looking in. That stuff ought to excite us. Oh, that's just a little nugget. That ought to spark. I want to know more. I want more. I'm not looking for little nuggets and little things. I just want to know more about my Jesus. I want to know more. Hey, search them daily. Read them because they're writing about me. They're concerning me. Hey, this is him right here. Until you get to heaven, this is as close as you're going to get to Jesus. Until you get to heaven, this is how you touch him. Touching Jesus is all that really matters. Yeah, I know it's prayer, but I got power in prayer because of the Word. Oh, let's lift our hands. Come on, let's lift our spirits tonight. A revival of the Bible. Oh, let us have a revival of the Bible. Let us have a revival of the Bible. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, oh, clap your hands. Come on, the Word of God is right. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I stand upon the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Oh, anybody excited about it tonight? Oh, we love you, Jesus. Amen, amen. Make it a practice. Make it a practice to read your Bible. If you only read 30 scriptures a day, I mean, that's a good number. My pastor used to say, just read 30 verses a day. Don't read the same ones. Well, that's easy. And don't just quote them. My pastor gave me a solution one time to a situation. He said, read Psalm 23 5 times every night before you go to bed. He said, don't quote it. You know how many times you could quote Psalm 23 without even thinking about it? He said, read it. There's something about reading it. And then he said, open that Bible up to Psalm 23, put your pillow over it, and sleep on it. I was having problems with torment. I was being tormented in my dreams and in my sleep. And he said, do that. And I kept doing that so often that I didn't even have to do it anymore. My nephew was having some same issues. And I told him, I said, read it. Don't quote it. Read it and sleep on it. Never had an issue. They just had the same thing with his son. And they said, open up your Bible and read Psalm 23. I'm going to tell you, it works. The Bible works. The Word works. Come on, the word works. So make it a habit. So what's more important, Pastor, prayer or Bible reading? Well, I'm going to tell you something. You got to have both. You got to have both. I would say you need to pray to read your Bible and use your Bible to pray. You need to pray to read your Bible to get understanding, but you also need the Bible to pray. Because I don't know how to pray. Quote scripture, read scripture, whatever you do. In fact, there's instructions in there about how the Lord taught us to pray. So do it. Read your Bible and pray every day and watch revival break out in your home. Watch revival break out in your life and watch revival break out in the church. Amen? Amen. One more time, clap your hands all over the house tonight. Thank God for his word. We're not clapping for the preacher. We're clapping for the word of God. Give God praise tonight. Come on, praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Greet somebody tonight before you leave. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.